Thank you. Prabhupati Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate 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 Vasudevaya.
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 22, Text 23. I'm sorry, I can't see it. Didn't think my eyes were that bad.
Get you a flashlight.
This is a little bit higher, Maharaj. It'll be easier for you to see.
You want a phone, Maharaj?
Huh?
You want a phone?
Actually, maybe I'll try to do it. I'll find it on my phone. I think I have it. No, I can see that. This is actually, somehow I got the right angle now. Arta.
Arta.
India.
India.
Arama.
Arama.
Sagoshti.
Sagoshti.
Atrishnaya.
Atrishnaya.
Tat.
Tat.
Samatanam.
Samatanam.
Aparigrahina.
Aparigrahina.
Cha,
cha,
viviktarucha,
viviktarucha,
paritoshe,
paritoshe,
atmani,
atmani,
vina,
vina,
hare,
hare,
guna,
guna,
piyusha,
piyusha,
panat,
panat,
artendriya rama sagosya yatrishnaya,
artendriya rama
Atendriya Rama Sagostya Trishnaya
Atendriya Rama Sagostya
Trishnaya Tatsamatanam apigrahen aparigrahena cha
Tatsamatanam aparigrahena cha
Tatsamatanam
aparigrahena cha
Viviktarucha paritosha atmani Viviktarucha paritosha atmani
Viviktarucha paritosha atmani
Vina hariya guna piyusha panat
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 Atendriya rama sagostya trishnaya
Atendriya rama sagostya
Tat samatanam aparigrahena cha Viviktarucha paritosha atmani
Viviktarucha paritosha atmani
Vina hariya guna piyusha panat
Vina hariya guna piyusha panat
Artendriya rama sagostya trishnaya
Artendriya rama sagostya trishnaya
Tat samatanam parigrahena cha
Tat samatanam parigrahena cha
Viviktarucha paritosha atmani
Viviktarucha paritosha atmani
Vina hariya guna piyusha panat
Vina hariya guna piyusha panat
Atendriya rama Sagosha Trishnaya
Atendriya Rama Sagosha Trishnaya
Tama Tasamatanam Aparigrahena Cha
Tasamatanam Aparigrahena Cha
Viviktarucha Paritosha Atmani
Viviktarucha Paritosha Atmani
Vina Hare Guna Piyusha Panat
Vina Hare Guna Piyusha Panat
Atendriya Rama Sangosh Astrishnaya
Atendriya Rama sagoshta krishnaya
samatanam aparigrahina cha
samatanam aparigrahina cha
tarucha paritosha atmani
tarucha paritosha atmani
Atendriya Rama Sagoshya Trishnaya
Atendriya Rama Sagoshya Trishnaya
Tatsamatanam Aparigrahena Cha
Tatsamatanam Aparigrahena Cha
Vidiktarucha Paritosha Atmani
Vidiktarucha Paritosha Atmani
Ladies, okay,
Artha,
riches,
Indriya,
senses.
Arama,
gratification.
Sagosti,
with their companion. Atrishnaya,
by reluctance.
Tat, that. Samatanam,
since approved by them.
Aparigrahena,
by non-acceptance.
Cha,
also.
Vivikta Ruchya,
disgusted taste.
Paratoshe,
happiness.
Atmani, self. Vina, without.
Hari,
of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Guna,
qualities.
Piyusha,
nectar.
Panat,
drinking.
Translation. One has to make progress in spiritual life by not associating with persons who are simply interested in sense gratification and making money. Not only such persons, but one who associates with such persons should be avoided. One should mold his life in such a way that he cannot live in peace without drinking the nectar of the glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari. One can be thus elevated by being disgusted with the taste for sense enjoyment. Purport. In the material world, everyone is interested in money and sense gratification. The only objective is to earn as much money as possible and utilize it for satisfaction of the senses. Srila Sukadeva Goswami thus described the activities of the materialistic persons. Nidraya hriyate naktam vyavayena chavavaya diva chate haya rajan kutumbha bharanena va. This is a typical example of materialistic persons. At night, they waste their time by sleeping more than 6 hours or by wasting time in sex indulgence. This is their occupation at night. And in the morning, they go to their office or business place just to earn money. As soon as there is some money, they become busy in purchasing things for their children and others. Such persons are never interested in understanding the values of life. What is God? What is the individual soul? What is its relationship with God? Etc. Things are degraded to such an extent that those who are supposed to be religious are also at the present moment interested only in sense gratification. The number of materialistic persons in this age of Kali has increased more than in any other age. Therefore, persons who are interested in going back home, back to Godhead, should not only engage in the service of realized souls, but should give up the company of materialistic persons whose only aim is to earn money and employ it in sense gratification. They should also not accept the objectives of materialistic persons, namely money and sense gratification. Therefore, it is stated, bhakti parishanubhavavaraktir anyatracha, to advance in devotional service, one should be uninterested in the materialistic way of life. That which is the subject matter of satisfaction for the devotees is of no interest to the non-devotees. Simple negation or giving up the company of materialistic persons will not do. We must have engagements. Sometimes it is found that a person interested in spiritual advancement gives up the company of material society and goes to a secluded place as recommended for the yogis especially. But that will also not help a person in spiritual advancement, for in many instances such yogis also fall down. As far as jnanis are concerned, generally they fall down without taking shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. The impersonalists or the voidists can simply avoid the positive material association. They cannot remain fixed in transcendence without being engaged in devotional service. The beginning of devotional service is to hear about the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is recommended in this verse, Vina Hariya Guna Piyusha Pahanat. One must drink the nectar of the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this means that one must be always engaged in hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. It is the prime method for advancing in spiritual life. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also recommends this in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. If one wants to make advancement in spiritual life, by great fortune he may meet a bona fide spiritual master and from him learn about Krishna. By serving both the spiritual master and Krishna, he gets the seed of devotional service, bhakti lata bij. And if he sows the seed within his heart and waters it by hearing and chanting, it grows into a luxuriant bhakti lata or bhakti kripa. The kripa is so strong that it penetrates the covering of the universe and reaches the spiritual world and continues to grow on and on until it reaches and takes shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna, just as an ordinary kripa also grows on and on until it takes a solid shelter on a roof. Then it very steadily grows and produces the required fruit. The real cause of the growing of such fruit, which is here called the nectar of hearing the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is to water the creeper of devotional service by hearing and chanting. The purport is that one cannot live outside the society of devotees. One must live in the association of devotees, where there is constant chanting and hearing of the glories of the Lord. The Krishna consciousness movement is started for this purpose, so that hundreds of ISKCON centers may give people a chance to hear and chant, to accept the spiritual master, and to disassociate themselves from persons who are materially interested. For in this way, one can make solid advancement in going back home, back to Godhead. Translation again. One has to make progress in spiritual life by not associating with persons who are simply interested in sense gratification and making money. Not only such persons, but one who associates with such persons should be avoided. One should mold his life in such a way that he cannot live in peace without drinking the nectar of the glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Hari. One can be thus elevated by being disgusted with the taste for sense enjoyment. Om Jnana Timarandasya Garanjana Savakaya Chakshu Unmanitani Natasvai Shigarave Namaha Okam Karoti Vachala Pangum Nangaya Te Garim Hakripa Tamaham Vande Shigarundina Tarana Nama Om Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamaniti Namane Namaste Sarasvate Devi Gauravani Pacharane Nirvishesha Shanyavari Paschacha Desatarane Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda
Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
I always find it more difficult to have to pick my own verse. I find it easier when I'm told what it's to speak on. But I picked a verse, as you can see. What prompted me to pick this verse? I was flipping through the Bhagavatam, and it looked like a nice verse. I remember speaking on it before, along with a few other verses in this chapter, and I found the topic to be very relevant. Always relevant. This verse and a few verses before it and some verses after it are actually Sanat Kumar's answer to a question that was posed to him by Prithu Maharaj. To put it into a little context, I'll revert back to some of those verses. His first question, first he received the four Kumaras in a very, as is appropriate to the reception of such elevated Vaishnavas. And then usually what is done is a few words of glorification are given, which is what Prithu Maharaj did. And then when in the association of more advanced Vaishnavas, especially, although Prithu Maharaj was a Sakyavesha avatar, and four Kumaras are actually Sakyavesha avatars, but nonetheless, Prithu Maharaj was coming as to teach the behavior of an ideal king, and therefore, as the ideal king, he was receiving the presence of saintly personalities to show and demonstrate by his own behavior that how a saintly person should be received. First, he should be given a place to sit, he should be given words of glorification, and then as we see in so many of the different exchanges in Srimad Bhagavatam, after setting the scene, then the person who has been given a proper position to speak, he reciprocates with the questions that were submitted to him. In fact, I seem to recall one of the things that Prithu Maharaj said to the four Kumaras, that you are self-satisfied and you don't need anything anyways. And let me see if I can find it. The sages took their seats. Four sages were elder to even to Lord Shiva. They appeared before Lord Shiva appeared. Then King Prithu says, "I do not know what kind of pious activities I performed for you to grace me by appearing before me without difficulty. Such association is very rare to obtain." And not only that, but one who receives the favor of auspicious personalities, they receive the favor of such auspicious personalities. And then Prithu Maharaj said that that a person who is not very rich and is attached to family life becomes highly glorified when saintly persons are present in his home. The master and servants who are engaged in offering the exalted visitors water, a sitting place, and paraphernalia for reception are glorified, and the home itself is also glorified. And then he goes on to explain that if such a reception is not given to a saintly person, then such a home is considered to be like a tree in which all venomous serpents live. In other words, Prithu Maharaj is making it very clear that you have to set the proper mood upon receiving a saintly person, and that they should be made to feel welcome, and actually they'll naturally reciprocate. And I think I'm looking for the other verse. And this is the question he asked. Prithu Maharaj inquired from the sages about persons entangled in this dangerous material existence because of their previous actions. Could such persons, whose only aim is sense gratification, be blessed with any good fortune? I guess this is relevant to a very nice book I read, When Good Fortune Arises. This is meant to illustrate that yes, even a person who's engaged in sense gratification, addicted to all kinds of sinful acts, can still achieve good fortune. And that was his question. Can such persons achieve good fortune? And then he said, this is a verse. He says, My dear sirs, there's no need to ask about your good and bad fortune because you're always absorbed in spiritual bliss. The mental concoction of auspicious and inauspicious does not exist in you. Dvaita Bhadra Bhadra Gyan Sabha Manodama E Bala E Manda E Sabha Brahma. This verse was also spoken by Lord Chaitanya to Sanatana Goswami. That Dvaita Bhadra Bhadra Gyan, the conceptions of good and bad, they are like mental concoctions. And they're actually described that Dvaita Bhadra Bhadra Gyan Sabha Manodama. Manodama means it's they are the religion of the mind. Religion of the mind is to think in duality. This is good, this is bad. And Prithu Maharaj is saying, in you, there's no need to ask about your good and bad fortune because you're always absorbed in spiritual bliss. The mental concoction of auspicious and inauspicious does not exist in you. And then, next question he asks them, that I am completely assured that personalities like you are the only friends for persons who are blazing in the fire of material existence. I therefore ask you, this is the next question, therefore ask you how in this material world we can very soon achieve the ultimate goal of life. That is his question. Those are his two questions. How can those who are only aimed with sense gratification is be blessed with good fortune? And how can those in the material world very soon achieve the ultimate goal of life? So this verse that we read today is part of Sanat Kumar's answer to Prithu Maharaj's question. It's a very nicely questioned to you. Such questions are beneficial for all living entities. Same thing was said by Sutta Goswami. I am unjustly questioned by you. Your questions are glorious because they relate to Lord Krishna. Such questions are glorious because of the benefit for the whole world. And only questions of this nature can fully satisfy the self. So he's saying the same thing. Such questions are beneficial for all living entities, especially because they are raised by you, who are always thinking of the good of others. Although you know everything, you ask such questions because that is the behavior of saintly persons. Such intelligence is befitting your position. All these verses are very potent. I'm leading up to the verse. The next verse, he says, when there's a congregation of devotees, their discussions, questions and answers become conclusive to both the speaker and the audience. Thus, such a meeting is beneficial for everyone's real happiness. And this is really goes in line with what we've been hearing the last several days about, association with devotees. That when in the association of devotees and such loving exchanges, which were emphasized last night, when there's actually loving exchanges, there's discussions take place such naturally. And then this is what happens when devotees get together. Machitta, Matagata Prana, Bodhiyakta, Parasparam. Parasparam, the same word that was in the verse that we were hearing from last night. There's a particular pleasure, relishment in discussing such topics because these topics are satisfying to the self, whereas other topics, worldly topics, they cannot satisfy the self. The self is only satisfied when engaged in topics which are meant for the satisfaction of the Lord.
Bhajaniya Paramasukha Matrasa Sukadvam is described that to the degree that the Supreme Lord is satisfied by one's activities, to that degree we become satisfied. That is how the self becomes satisfied. Savai Pung Saman Padodamo Yato Bhakti Ridhoksaje. The supreme occupation for all mankind is that by which one can attain to loving devotional service to the transcendental Lord. Such devotional service must be unmotivated, uninterrupted, to satisfy the self. So one engages in such discussions, as was very nicely described last night, not for any other purpose except because it's pleasing to the Lord. The Lord is very pleased when he sees the effort being made, the effort, right, being made to put him at the center and to discuss his glories. So when there's a congregation of devotees, their discussions, questions and answers become conclusive to both the speaker and the audience. Thus, such a meeting is beneficial for everyone's real happiness. And then Sanat Kumara says that, my dear king, you already have an inclination to glorify the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. Such attachment is very difficult to achieve, but when one has attained such unflinching faith in the Lord, it automatically cleanses lusty desires from the core of the heart. Shunvatasva kata krishna punya shravana kirtana hridantya stohya vadani virunyoti suhitsutam. That Sri Krishna, who is the super soul in the heart of all living beings, he cleanses the desire for material enjoyment from the heart of that person who develops the urge to hear his messages with themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. So the same point is being made here by Sanat Kumar. He said that you already have an inclination. You are very much inclined to hear such topics. Such attachment is difficult to achieve, but when one has attained such unflinching faith in the Lord, it automatically cleanses lusty desires from the core of the heart. Prasangam ajaram pasham atmana kavayovidu. Every learned person knows that attachment to material things is the cause of bondage. But when attachment is applied to self-realized devotees, as being stated here, moksha dvam upavrata, then that opens the gate. Attachment has to be there. We naturally must be attached to something, to someone. And we should not try to obliterate attachment. We simply have to learn how to transfer attachment from that which is material to that which is spiritual. And that is the essence of the verse that we're speaking about today from the Bhagavatam. The verse speaks about attachment to materialistic people and attachment to association of devotees. And the first part of the verse begins with one has to make progress in spiritual life by not associating with persons who are simply interested in sense gratification and making money. Not only such persons, but one who associates with such persons should be avoided. Lord Chaitanya said the same thing, asat sanga tyaga, e vaishnava acha, stri sangi eka asaru krishna bhagdara. That one has to give up asat sanga tyaga. Asat sanga, asat means that which is temporary. Sanga, association with those who are absorbed in temporary worldly things. Tyaga, one has to renounce those things. One has to associate with devotees, which is satsanga, associate with that which is eternal. So, when I first read this verse, and I read the purport, I was thinking that it lends itself to a very, very important discussion, one which is raised by our previous acharyas, Bhaktivinoda Thakur also. And it's a question that oftentimes baffles devotees about how to, especially when they hear, how to give up association with worldly people. I mean, we hear it all the time, but yet, and of course, we should know what worldly people are. Bhaktivinoda Thakur also explains very clearly who is a non-devotee and whose association should be given up. And sometimes we hear that, we begin to think that, well, how do we give up association with non-devotees, especially in household or life? One has to find himself sometimes in the physical proximity of many worldly people. And therefore, many times we hear devotees say,
because I'm in the association of so many worldly people, it affects my consciousness. And because my consciousness is affected by associating with worldly people, I have very difficult in maintaining my determination and enthusiasm for spiritual life. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur even explains in Sri Bhakti Loka, he says that to the degree that our consciousness is absorbed in material things, and then what happens is we become attached and our faith in bhakti decreases. It decreases just naturally. That's the nature of association. He says there's different types of association. One is the association of worldly persons, the other is the association of our mental conceptions. Because that's another type of association. When the mind is absorbed in these mental conceptions of our attachments, like just as Krishna says that in the Bhagavad Gita, one who restrains the senses from the objects of the senses, but whose mind dwells on sense gratification, he deludes himself and is called a pretender. Right? He tries to restrain himself from the objects, but his mind is always absorbed in sense gratification. In fact, Prabhupada even uses that example of Pagul Vairagya, of the renunciates, the worldly materialistic persons who are the liberationists, who try to restrict themselves from sense gratification, but still there's so many desires in the heart. And he tells that story about the Palgu River. He says that in India there's a river called the Palgu River, and the Palgu River, it you cannot see it on the surface, but it flows underneath. And he says it's just like the persons who are Palgu Vairagis. Palgu Vairagis, externally they appear to be very detached, renounced. He says the same thing with the Palgu River. He says you can't see it on the surface, but if you put your hand below the surface, deep inside, you'll feel that the river is flowing. He says in the same way with Palgu Vairagis, on the surface they may appear to be very detached, but because their mind is always dwelling on sensual objects, he says, if you put your hand in their hearts, you'll see so many material desires are flowing. Just like the Palgu River. So he warns about the Palgu Vairagis. The Palgu Vairagis are those who try to detach themselves. And Prabhupada even said in today's purport, he says, simple negation or giving up the company of materialistic persons will not do. Yeah? Because spiritual life is not simply negation of the worldly things, but it's a positive, you know, attraction to spiritual activities. So, nonetheless, how to give up, as we're discussing the topic of giving up the association of worldly people, sometimes we see that in the association of worldly people, that we become influenced by them, and by such influence, we lose our determination, we lose our enthusiasm, we lose our desire. And therefore, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives instructions in Sri Bhakti Loka about what is association and what is not association. This is very important, actually. Especially, he specifically directs this to householders. Of course, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, also throughout Sri Bhakti Loka, he specifically addresses the sadhakas. He's approaching sadhakas, and sadhakas are those whose aim is to engage in sadhana. And sadhakas are those who have sadhana, which is daily, they spend some time hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord, or meditating on the holy name of the Lord, meditating on the pastimes of the Lord, reading Srimad Bhagavatam, discussing Srimad Bhagavatam in the association of devotees. But still, such sadhakas, they have their sadhana, but then throughout the rest of the day, as householders, they have to engage in what may appear to be worldly activities. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur goes on to explain the answer to this question, that what is association of devotees? And he specifically begins by saying, what is association and what is giving up association? Many people have doubts about this. Doubts may be there because if just by coming close to a materialist or material object is considered associating with them, then there's no way to give up this association. Right? Sometimes, especially even, I remember in the book distribution days, when we were going out every day, you know, one of our arguments oftentimes is we spend all day associating with materialistic people. You know, how to stay strong, Prabhupada. You know, of course, in many places he indicates that the devotees who go out and distributing books, their association is associating with the instructions of the spiritual master, and they're being protected by meditating upon the instructions of the spiritual master. And when in the physical presence of worldly minded people, they're not taking their association, but they're giving their own association. They're giving the association of the spiritual master by meditating on his instructions. They're giving the association of the spiritual master by meditating on his words that he's instructed. That's for us to repeat and to tell others. We're meditating on the spiritual master by meditating on his pleasure. And in this way, by meditating on the spiritual master and the instructions and his and things that he said, meditating on the things that he's taught by his example, in the physical proximity of worldly persons, we're not affected by that because we're not taking their worldly association. But instead, we're giving our association simply by being situated in the proper consciousness. Anyways, there's a whole topic on that, but I want to try to stick to the point about association. So many people have doubts about this. Doubts may be there because if just by coming close to a materialist, our material object is considered associating with them, then there's no way to give up this association. As long as the material body is there, how can one give up the proximity of these things? How can a Grihastha Vaishnava give up his family members? Okay, I guess the suggestion might be there sometimes in the that one has family members who are not devotees. And he's saying that one should not give them, how can he give them up? One cannot give up the association of deceitful persons, even if they are renunciates. One will have to come across materialists in one's life, whether one is a Grihastha or a renunciate. Therefore, the limit for giving up the association of materialists is prescribed in Sri Upadeshamrita as follows. Does anybody know the verse? Madhavananda? Dadati patagrinati guyamagati prasati. Yes. Yes. Translation.
Offering gifts and charity, accepting charitable gifts, revealing one's mind and confidence, confidentially inquiring, offering gifts, and accepting prasadam. These are the six loving exchanges.
But it's a gift also, though?
Huh?
Is offering gifts and receiving?
Yeah, he said, yeah, I think he said that in the beginning. Yeah, that was the first thing.
The six loving exchanges shared between devotees.
Yes. So this, he said, the limit for giving up association of materialists is prescribed in Sri Upadeshamrita by this verse, Tadati Patagrinati Guyamakyati Prachati. Then he says, O sadhakas, one must accept proximity with both bad and good people as one passes his life. This equally applies to householders and renunciants. Proximity must be there. Nevertheless, one should not engage in bad association. So he's saying, you can't avoid it. There has to be physical proximity with worldly people. But the limits of association, this is what defines how to limit the association. Because even if you're in physical proximity with worldly people, you can limit your association with them by understanding this verse and the essence of this verse. The essence of this verse is tati patagrinati, is when there's priti or when there's love, then there's association. That's love. And he'll go on to explain that. I won't, rather than explain it before he does, I'll let him explain it and then we'll discuss it. He says, giving in charity, accepting charity, revealing one's mind, hearing one's mind, accepting foods, and giving foods, If done with love, these are called sangha, or association. Giving some foodstuffs to a hungry person and accepting some charity from a pious man is done out of duty, not out of love. Even if they are materialists, this type of engagement is not considered association. But if they are pure devotees, then such activities are performed out of love. When acts are performed out of love, then it is association. So, of course, what is the characteristic of love? You know, we were hearing about it last night, Prabhupada. I remember one verse, one song. He says, this word love is being thrown around. Love of this, love of that, love of sex, love of... People are using love in so many different ways, but nobody knows the meaning of love, as Madhavananda Prabhu was saying. Three words that are used, I, love, you, mean a lot to somebody, but they don't even know what I is. I don't know what love is. They don't know what, who you is. So people are, their lives are completely overturned by hearing the three words, I love you. But due to their misidentification with the material world, they don't do it. Kami, Sanatana Goswami, when he approached Lord Chaitanya, he said many persons think that I'm a very learned scholar, I know so many languages, and I'm very aristocratic. But the first question he asked Lord Chaitanya, Kami, who am I? And why do I have to suffer these threefold miseries? He taught by his example that many people do not know who I am. So, therefore, what does it mean to have love? He says, if association, the limits of association is defined by whether there's priti or love or not. If there's priti, then it's association. But if there's no priti, then it's not association. It is simply done out of duty. He says, just like a worldly person, a householder, he may give a hungry man some charity. But that's not out of love, it's his duty. It's one of the duties of a householder is to give in charity. So he gives a hungry man some charity, but he's not doing it out of love. And sometimes when devotees hear this, sometimes they have this conception that, but devotees are supposed to love everyone. How can, you know, this is immediate sometimes to get into the sentimental understanding like that of the Uttama Ahadikari, is that we're supposed to love all living beings. But Prabhupada specifically says that we have to be very careful to not imitate an Uttama Ahadikari. For those who are on the Majjhima platform, they love the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They have loving exchanges with devotees. They're compassionate to the worldly persons, and they avoid upeksha. They have neglect towards the atheists. So a love to an atheist is to neglect them. That's the best thing you do for an atheist. You neglect it, because if you try to tell them the confidential teachings of the Lord, they'll blaspheme the Lord and they'll become even more degraded. So we neglect them. So therefore, sometimes the devotees have this false notion that love is to be loving towards everyone. We have to love everyone. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, no, the limits of association is priti, love, which is done between devotees. And what is a loving exchange between devotees? A loving exchange between devotees is, what is the characteristic of love? It's given by Rupa Goswami, Anya Balashita Shunyam, Gyanaka Manyan Vitam, Anukulgina Krishnano Shilanam Bhakti Uttama. He says that first class devotional service arises, when first class devotional service arises, one must be free from all material desires. He must be free from the knowledge which arises from monistic philosophy, and he must be free from fruitive activities. A devotee must constantly serve Krishna favorably as Krishna desires. So love means serving favorably as Krishna desires. How can you love a materialistic person whose absorption in material life is sense gratification as they desire? Where's the question of loving for them? Therefore, he says, for worldly persons, we associate with worldly persons, we do it out of duty. And he gives the example. Giving some foodstuffs to a hungry person and accepting some charity from a pious man is done out of duty, not out of love. Even if they are materialists, this type of engagement is not considered association. But if they are pure devotees, then such activities are performed out of love. Of course, we hear pure devotees. Pure devotees means they desire to become pure. That is pure devotee. They are sadhakas, those whose desire to become pure, those who are anxious to stay in the association of pure devotees, those who are very eager that whenever given the opportunity to discuss the pastimes of the Lord, they'll naturally gravitate to such topics because they know by associating with such persons who desire to associate with the Lord by hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord, they'll become purified. And they're very eager to become purified, as we spoke of in the Sunday feast program in Toronto. We quoted the verse from the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam, that pure devotional service is so transcendentally potent that simply by hearing about it, simply by glorifying it in response, simply by meditating on it, simply by faithfully and respectfully accepting that it exists, and simply by praising the service of others, even a person who hates the demigods and all living entities in the universe becomes purified. So a pure devotee, by definition, given here, is somebody who wants to associate and stay in the association of that which is pure. Asat sanga tyaga e vaishnava acha sri sanga eka sara krishna bhakta ara. So therefore he says that what acts are performed out of love, it is association. Therefore giving charity to pure Vaishnavas and accepting items or wealth from them becomes satsanga. Giving charity to a materialist or accepting charity for one, if done out of love, becomes satsanga. Anyone tell me?
Asatsanga.
Asatsanga. It can't be done out of love. It's done out of duty. It's out of duty. Because you can't give up the physical proximity of worldlies. You can't give up these worldly people. You can't give up, completely renounce, go to the forest, sit in the forest and simply sit and meditate. And Prabhupada always warned about such false renunciation, going to the forest and sitting and meditating. One who tries to artificially renounce, go to the forest and meditate, they'll simply think of sex life and making money. They'll simply think they'll be absorbed in the same activities that the worldly persons are doing. Right? Sometimes even people, we oftentimes used to give this example, we see sometimes people used to think that they would hanker so much before coming to Krishna consciousness, if I only lived in the temple. If I only lived in a temple, then I know I could advance in spiritual life. But then sometimes they come into the temple and they see what the focus of the temple is and everything they're supposed to do. Then their minds start thinking about being outside the temple. Right? It happens. They get into the temple, and the temple, what are the activities of the temple? Prabhupada says the activities of the temple are 24 hours a day. One should be absorbed in hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. It says there's no room for discussions of any other topics. So devotees are engaged 24 hours a day in hearing and chanting and going out and spreading the glories of the Lord, rendering devotional service to the Lord. In so many places in the Bhagavatam, he speaks about life in the temple. So people come in the temple, they begin to experience this, and then they start thinking, whoa. And they start meditating on things outside the temple. So the point is here that giving charity to pure Vaishnavas, excuse me, I know this was going to happen. Okay, giving charity to pure Vaishnavas and accepting items of wealth from them becomes satsanga. And giving charity to a materialist or accepting charity from one, if done out of love, becomes asatsanga. When a materialist approaches you, whatever is required to be done should be done only out of duty. One should not speak confidentially with a materialist. In other words, one of the loving exchanges between one devotee and another is a loving exchange is you reveal your mind in confidence. And because it's done out of love, the person that Prabhupada says in Upadeshamrita, the experienced devotee speaks, the inexperienced devotee listens. Right? This is a loving exchange. So when the inexperienced devotee comes before the experienced devotee, and because he trusts and he has some affection towards the more experienced devotee, he does it
simply as a way to please the experienced devotee. And he reveals his mind in confidence. And he's thinking that, yes, this devotee will be very kind and be very merciful to me. And therefore, out of natural reciprocation, he will help me and he'll give me instructions how to best understand how to advance, overcome the obstacles of my materialistic attachments and become situated steadily in the platform of devotional service. So this is confidential. This is a confidential relationship. Sometimes we even speak about this point, about confidential relationships. Unfortunately today, that when we speak about confidential relationships, we understand that confidential relationships are not so easy to have. One has to really invest in having a confidential relationship. Because these days, if you reveal your mind to somebody, then you're immediately afraid that the next day it's going to be on Facebook. Right? How can, in such an atmosphere, how can people have confidential relationships? And people are afraid. Therefore, one of the things that is very much missing in loving exchanges devotees is confidential relationships, because people are afraid to reveal their mind. If I say something, it's going to come back from someplace else. Either it'll be on the internet, it'll go around and it'll come out through the whole community. How is that? And then it comes back. Is that a loving reciprocation for my confidentially revealing to somebody? When somebody comes back and says, "Oh, Prabhu, I heard what you did." Is this the reciprocation that one gets from love? Confidential. Confidential relationships. Therefore, of course, this is a whole other topic in of itself, where Bhaktivinoda Thakura and Sri Bhakti Goloka explains when to talk about others and when to not talk about others. But I think we talked about that here one year. I can't remember, some time back, about that. But loving relationships means I confidentially, in confidence, I go to somebody that I have respect and out of love, I reveal my heart. And of course, reveal my heart sometimes is, it may be different kinds of revealing. One heart may be there, one may think, "Prabhu, I just want to tell you, I need to reveal my heart. You do this, you do that, this bothers me, this bothers me, this bothers them. And this is love, Prabhu, just to swallow it." But this is not the type of loving exchange that Rupa Goswami is speaking about, Upadesha Brita. Is to reveal one's mind of confidence is that it's just like when Prithu Maharaj received Sanat Kumara and the four Kumaras and said, I'm receiving you, I want to reveal, I'm a materialist. And he took the role of materialist as I'm attached to sense gratification. How can I very quickly overcome my material attachments and give up? He took that role of confidentially revealing. Of course, he did it not for himself, as Sanat Kumara said. You're asking this question and behaving like you're a materialist, but I know you're already liberated soul. But there's a lot of others around here, I think, that need to hear this answer to this question. So he spoke. And there was a loving reciprocal exchange between Sanat Kumara and Prithu Maharaj. So in the same way, when one is in the association of more advanced devotees, a loving exchange is to reveal one's mind in confidence and inquire confidentially. And Prabhupada says the inexperienced devotee speaks and the inexperienced devotee hears from him. And when it's done with simply out of natural desire, out of respect, when it's done out of affection for that person, and then of course the experienced devotee who has natural affection, because this person is approaching me not with an agenda, not because he's thinking, oh, he wants to trap me and catch me and he wants to trick me and he wants to prove me wrong, but he genuinely wants to know the answer to this question, that he'll naturally reciprocate in a loving way. And then of course that's priti. That's priti lakshanam. This is what Rupa Goswami is explaining is a natural loving relationship. And it's not only that, but one of the symptoms of love is given by Rupa Goswami is that it's free from the desire of fruitive activities. It's freed from material desires. It's freed from the influence of monistic philosophy. Knowledge arises from monistic philosophy. In other words, it's freed from any impure motive. It's done with a desire to please favorably. I want to please
this devotee by inquiring from him, and I want to, and I know he'll be pleased by my question, and to please him in a favorable way, as he would like me to inquire from him. Then that kind of natural loving exchange, when done with priti, with love, that's association, right? But why would one want to love, out of love, reveal one's mind and confidence to a worldly-minded person? Because the only response that one can possibly expect to get from a worldly-minded person is a worldly-minded response, which is devoid of love, and which is motivated, and which may be born of envy. It may be born of hatred, of greed. This is as Prahlad Maharaj in his prayers in the fifth canto of the Bhagavatam, the Lord Nisringadev, he prays for all living entities to become pacified and to become freed from non-envious, because and he says the only way they can become free from envy is by meditating on the lotus feet of Krishna. And therefore, Prabhupada explains that this only a non-envious person can actually think of the welfare of others. And Dr. Prahlad Maharaj said that in his prayer also. He said, only when persons are free from envy can they actually think of others' welfare. Because as long as there's envy in the heart, they'll be thinking, well, I think I've got a good opportunity out of this question to get something. Or as Madhavananda Prabhu was explaining the other night, sometimes when the person speaks, he speaks in such a way to use the philosophy to manipulate this external situation. But the motivation has to be not to glorify the Lord. To glorify the Lord and to help others remember the Lord. This is the motivation. So to reveal one's mind in a loving way and to a materialistic person is very dangerous. And therefore he says right here, giving charity to a materialist, accepting charity, if done out of love, becomes asatsanga. When a materialist approaches you, whatever is required to be done should be done only out of duty. One should not speak confidentially with a materialist. Generally, there is some love involved in confidential speaking. Therefore, it is association. While meeting a materialistic friend, one should speak only what is extremely necessary. At that time, it is better not to exhibit heartfelt love. But if that friend is a proper Vaishnava, then one should accept his association by speaking to him with love. This type of behavior with relatives and friends creates no hostility. Of course, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is speaking such a way, it creates no hostility, because one who's doing it, he's not saying, look, I'm only speaking to you because it's out of my duty, I don't love you, I don't care for you. No, when it's done internally, then there's no hostility created. Because when the meditation internally is that I'm doing this out of duty because I know, as Madhavananda, well, again, I'm hearing so many things. He's given so many nice little tidbits. He said how the husband always has to tell the wife, I love you.
And you're beautiful.
And you're beautiful. And he has to say it in such a way that you mean it, right? And they're convinced that you mean it.
I love
you. No, and if they say, Madhavananda said...
I gotta say that
to you to tell you.
Yeah. Just like sometimes very neophyte devotees, when they go back to their family members, the family members are asking about their behavior. You know, why do you do this, why do you do that? Then they say, well, so-and-so said I should treat you like this. No. We have to internally... We have to properly internalize these instructions and behave with the proper internal understanding. That yes, and if you behave with the proper internal understanding, then no hostility is created. Because people will be convinced this is... Who is it? What's in the Srimad Bhagavatam? Was it Narada Muni's instructions to Yudhishthira Maharaj when he's talking about householder life? He says one of the duties of the householder is that when family members come before him and say, why aren't you doing this, why aren't you doing that, then the householder should externally agree and say, yes, you're right, I should do this. He said, yeah, but internally, he said, He should meditate in such a way that he'd not be too overly encumbered in the materialistic way of life. But externally, he agrees. So I say, Narada Muni is telling Yudhisthira Maharaj to be, to be duplicitous. Is that such? No, it's not being duplicitous. Yes, I understand. It is very important. But in my heart, but we don't say that. And we do it. It's also like the example that's given by Lord Chaitanya. We gave it to Rupa Sanatana Goswami. He gave the example of that, how the devotee by meditating on the Lord within his heart, how he said that he said that they should return to their worldly way of life. And he gave them the example of like the woman who has a paramour. And then the woman who has a paramour, she's even more attentive to her household duties, so her husband never suspects. But within her heart, she's always thinking of her lover. So in the same way, he used that as an example for the devotee. He's more attentive to his duties. Yes, I should be attentive. But in the heart, he's always thinking of the Supreme Lord. Of course, if the family members are devotees, they appreciate such meditation on the part of the devotee. They appreciate, my husband, my wife, they're thinking of this, they're endeavoring to associate and meditate on the Supreme Lord. They're teaching me by their example. Therefore, this is real grihastha, Vaishnava grihastha life. But sometimes, they may have to, as Narada Muni said to Yudhisthira Maharaj, sometimes you have to say things in such a way that I accept that what you say is valid, but in the heart, they should be always meditating, being very careful not to become overly addicted to the worldly way of life and become too entangled. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying here, he said that when a materialistic friend, one should speak only what is extremely necessary. At that time, it is better not to exhibit heartfelt love. But that friend, if that friend is a proper Vaishnava, then one should accept his association by speaking to him with love. This type of behavior with relatives and friends creates no hostility. There is no association in ordinary talk. One should behave with ordinary people as one externally behaves with a stranger while buying something in the market. The same dealings with a pure devotee of the Lord should be done out of love. If one is obliged to feed hungry people, needy people, and teachers, he should do so as a host dutifully cares for his guest. There is no need to exhibit love. Care for them, but not out of love. One should feed pure Vaishnavas with love, and when required, accept the remnants given by them with love. If one can behave in this way while giving in charity, accepting charity, speaking confidentially, hearing confidentially, feeding and accepting food with one's wife, children, servants, maidservants, strangers, and whoever else one meets, there will be no unholy association, only good association. There is no hope of achieving devotion to Krishna until one gives up unholy association in this way. A renunciate Vaishnava should accept whatever alms he receives by madhukari or begging at the house of an honest householder with the above-mentioned consideration. He should always remember the difference between gross begging and madhukari. A grihastha Vaishnava should accept prasad, grains, and drinks in the house of another grihastha who has a pure character. One should always be cautious about taking prasad in the house of non-devotee and one with a bad character. There's no need to speak further about this. Due to their pious activities, those who have developed faith in devotional service have a little intelligence by the mercy of Krishna. Due to that intelligence, they can easily understand the essence of the Acharya's instructions. Therefore, only a few words are needed to instruct them. Those who have no pious credits have no faith. Even if they are given volumes of instruction, they will not understand a thing. Therefore, Srila Rupa Goswami has given only a few words of instruction in Sri Upadeshamrita. Anyways, that's a little bit about the first part of the verse, which specifically Prabhupada said in today's verse. He said, what the verse says, that one has to make progress in spiritual life by not associating with persons who are simply interested in sense gratification and making money. Not only such persons, but one who associates with such persons should be avoided. And then Prabhupada says, simple negation or giving up the company of materialistic persons will not do. We must have engagements. Sometimes it is found that a person interested in spiritual advancement gives up the company of material society, goes to a secluded place, is recommended for the yogis especially, but that also will not help a person in spiritual advancement. Prabhupada's talking about simple negation of the materialist or the worldly persons, those who are the impersonalists, those who are the jnanis, those who are the yogis, simply giving them up, it will not do. One has to have the positive association, and Prabhupada talks about the positive association is the association with the bona fide devotees of the Lord. And he quotes about the Bhakti Lata. At one favorite quote I always like to quote in this connection, Srila Prabhupada, I think I remember even quoting it last year, but I'm happy to repeat it again, where Prabhupada talks about when the Bhakti Lata Bija is planted. He describes what is the Bhakti Lata Bija. What is that seed? He says the living entities all over the universes are enjoying the effects of respective fruitive results of their own work, life after life. Out of all of them, some may be influenced by the association of pure devotees, and thus get the chance to execute devotional service by attainment of taste. This taste is the seed of devotional service. And one who is fortunate enough to have received such a seed is advised how to sow it in the core of the heart. Right? Sometimes we hear, what is that seed? The Bhakti Lata Bija. Prabhupada is saying here, the seed is the awakening of a higher taste. Vishaya Vinifa. The awakening of a taste to hear topics which are connected to the Lord. Awakening of a desire. Right? Just as we said, we oftentimes quote the verse that the Madashaya Kata Mishta Shinvanti Katayanti Chata Panti Vivadasta Panaita Mangachate Chasa. Engage constantly in hearing and chanting about me. Sadhus don't suffer from material miseries because they're filled with thoughts of my activities and pastimes. Taite Sarava Sadvi Sava Sangha Vivajita Sangashte Shvatate Parche Sangha Dosha Haraite. Lord Kapila Dev tells his mother, oh my mother, oh virtuous lady, seek out their association. Become attached to them. Because if you get some taste and become attached to them, then it will counteract all the pernicious effects of your material attachments. So he says that Bhakti Lata Bija is this awakening of some taste. Yeah, there's something better to talk about. There is something better to talk about. Prabhupada says in the fifth canto of the Bhagavatam, Forgive me, it's a quote, and then I'll go back to that quote. Fifth canto of Bhagavatam, Prabhupada says, and it's very much related to the verse today. I'm not so well organized as Madhavananda Prabhu, forgive me. He's got everything at his fingertips. Fifth canto. Is who are the pure devotees mentioned here? In an assembly of pure devotees, there's no question of discussing material subjects like politics and sociology. In an assembly of pure devotees, there's discussion only of the qualities, forms, and pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is praised and worshipped with full attention. In the association of pure devotees, by constantly hearing such topics respectfully, even a person who wants to merge into the existence of the Absolute Truth abandons this idea and gradually becomes attached to the service of Vasudeva. So Prabhupada says in the purport, the symptoms of pure devotees are described in this verse. Pure devotee is never interested in material topics. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has strictly prohibited his devotees to talk about worldly matters. Gramya Varta Nakahi Be. One should not indulge in talking unnecessarily about the news of the material world. One should not waste time in this way. This is a very important feature in the life of a devotee. Devotee has no other ambition than to serve Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This Krishna consciousness movement was started to engage people 24 hours daily in the service of the Lord and in His glorification. The students in this institution engage in the cultivation of Krishna consciousness from 5 in the morning to 10 at night. They actually have no opportunity to waste their time unnecessarily by discussing politics, sociology, and current events. These will go their own way. I love that. They're going to happen. They're going to go their own way anyways. Are we going to change events by discussing them? Are we going to change, the leadership of the world? Are we going to change the outcome that will come by sitting in? What are we going to do? The only way we can possibly change the events of sociology, politics, and current events is by ourselves taking shelter in the topics of the Supreme Lord. It changes the events because it changes our ability to deal with those constant change of events. As Bhagavatam states, that both by rising and setting, the sun decreases the duration of life for everyone, except for one who utilizes the time for discussing the pastimes of the All Good Personality of God. This is how events become changed. When we cultivate the proper consciousness of how to deal with the ever-changing events of sociology, current events, and politics. So Prabhupada said, these will go their own way. A devotee is concerned only with serving Krishna positively and seriously. So again, the planting of this devotional seed. As Prabhupada says, if a fortunate person is influenced by association of pure devotees and gets the chance to execute devotional service by attainment of taste, this taste is the seed of devotional service, and one who is fortunate enough to have received such a seed is advised to sow it in the core of his heart. As one cultivates a seed by pouring water to fructify it, the seed of devotional service sown in the heart of the devotee may be cultured by pouring water in the form of hearing and chanting of the holy name and pastimes of the Lord. The creeper of devotional service, so nourished, gradually grows, and a devotee acting as a gardener goes on pouring the water of constant hearing and chanting. The creeper of devotional service gradually grows so high that it passes through the entire material universe and enters into the spiritual sky, growing still higher and higher until it reaches planet Goloka Vrindavan. The devotee gardener is in touch with the abode of the Lord even from the material plane by dint of performing devotional service to the Lord simply by hearing and chanting. Then Prabhupada says, as a creeper takes, and he also mentions that in today's verse, in the purport. Just as an ordinary creeper also grows on and on until it takes a solid shelter on a roof, then it very steadily grows and produces the required fruit. In this purport, Prabhupada says, the devotee gardener is touched with the abode of the Lord even from the material plane by dint of performing devotional service to the Lord simply by hearing and chanting. As a creeper takes shelter of another stronger tree, this he's giving an example instead of the roof, he's giving an example of another stronger tree. Similarly, the creeper of devotional service, nourished by the devotee, takes shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord and thus becomes fixed. In other words, when the creeper takes shelter of a stronger tree, then the creeper can then have the strength to bear the fruit. And therefore he says, when the creeper takes shelter of another stronger tree, similarly, the creeper of devotional service, nourished by the devotee, takes shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, and thus becomes fixed. When the creeper is fixed, then the fruit of the creeper comes into existence, and the gardener who nourished it is able to enjoy this fruit of love and become successful. This is the positive side. Negative side is, as we said, be very careful about association, and we know the limits of association. The positive side is to hanker and to have loving exchanges and association with those who are attracted to talking about, discussing the topics of the Lord. And in this way, it's not that living in the temple is superior and living outside the temple. Living outside the temple could be superior if one engages in his household of duties, but he as he's supposed to do, but he does everything out of duty, but in his heart he's always meditating on, when can I go to the temple and hear about Krishna? He's meditating in a positive way. This is my shelter. When can I go in the association of devotees to get that opportunity to hear about Krishna? This is his protection. This is protection. Rather than sometimes we see devotees, they sit in the temple, they live in the temple, they sit in the Bhagavatam class, and they're told they have to go. But in the back, what they're doing is they're sitting and they're, you know, they're doing so many other things to keep themselves busy. You know, I'm here. And of course, sometimes they say, well, it's because of the speaker. But, as we heard last night, that it's not just because of the speaker. It's when there's actually a desire to hear and chant in the association, when actually there's a desire to discuss. This is also relishing the association. The desire to discuss the topics. Prabhupada said we should sit and discuss his books from different angles of vision. And in this way, such as Prabhupada says in the verse in the Bhagavad Gita, in the purport of the verse, what is that verse? Because you're never envious of me, I shall impart to you this most secret wisdom, knowing which you'll become free from all the religion. What is that? Can somebody tell me? Anyways, in that verse, Prabhupada says that topics that are discussed amongst the devotees become increasingly potent when they're discussed amongst devotees. So, this is how to live in the association of devotees, and how to live in the physical proximity of materialistic people and still not have to associate with them, is by hankering to associate with those devotees who are eager to talk about the Lord. And then, of course, when given such opportunities, to engage in such discussions for one's own purification and for the pleasure of the Lord and pleasure of the spiritual master as well. Prabhupada is very pleased, spiritual master is very pleased when he sees the devotees taking shelter in the bona fide process for self-purification and hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. Prabhupada was so pleased that he would also sit and even hear his disciples speak. It would give him great pleasure. He'd say, so you give class. And Prabhupada would sit and listen and would relish. This is how pleasing it was to him. Many devotees have stories to tell about how Prabhupada would put them in that situation. And Prabhupada would sit and relish. Just as my superiors have given me this opportunity to be in their association and somehow give me an opportunity to serve Prabhupada in this way. So I thank you for this opportunity. And I think we can end here. Unless somebody has something to share. Some.
In Vrindavan, Prabhupada was giving us the example of that we should be like doctors. He said doctors, when there's a patient and there's a problem, they get together to discuss, okay, what angle, how are we going to... So he said devotees should get together like that, with that mindset. What angle, either in preaching or Krishna Katha, to understand the scriptures. So he's giving that example. That determination, you know.
The doctor should get it?
Well, he was saying that that we see in the material world, when there's a patient,
oh, yes,
they get together. You know, one is specialist in this.
Right, exactly. Oh, believe me, I know all about that.
Yeah. So he was saying the devotees, as doctors, should have that determination to get together. And we all have different abilities, you know, different ways of reading.
And different opinions, too.
Yeah. Yeah. It enhances, if there's a favorable attitude, then right. It enhances, you know.
Yes, the good health of the patient.
One thing I was wondering, it says that we should do this out of duty, but there is some affection there. Like, you know, it's not like a very dry thing. Like if I'm...
Compassion.
It's compassion.
Like if I still have to love my brothers and my mother and, you know, and parents. It's not like I'm just dry approach.
But the point that he's making about love is that love means to serve them according to their desires, mm-hmm. favorably. So, like when we serve the devotees, tadati patagrinati guhyam akyati prishtati, we give them something that we know is pleasing to them, because the devotees, they don't really need anything because they're satisfied in service to Krishna. That's what they want. That is their hankering. That's their attachment. But we give them it's a symbol of our love. Just like Krishna says, if you give me a leaf, flower, fruit, or water, Krishna doesn't need the leaf, flower, fruit, or water. But we give it because Krishna's asking for it. That he wants it. Therefore, our love is to give them what they ask for. But if you give a materialistic person what they want, then you're going to get implicated.
Yeah.
So that's the point he's making. But there's affection, but it's mostly out of duty. Affection is compassion. That's the point that was made. That's affection. It's compassion. Seeing them as spirit souls, seeing them as potential servants of the Lord, and seeing that potential. But we have to be very, very careful to not imitate what Prabhupada says in Upadeshamrita, not Upadeshamrita, what is it? In the Ishopanishad. I think I might have the quote someplace. Yes. He says, those who imitated an Uttama Adhikari by flaunting a sense of oneness or fellowship, but who behave on the bodily platform, are actually false philanthropists. In other words, how can we love everybody if we're not on that platform? We have to be careful how we use that word. He said the conception of universal brotherhood must be learned from an Uttama Adhikari, not from a foolish person who does not properly understand the individual soul, the Supreme Lord's super soul expansion who dwells everywhere. But the point that you're making is a very good point. It's compassion. But to serve them favorably as they desire.
It's like my brother lives 10 blocks away. He doesn't know I'm here. I'm not going to go and see him. My family's here. You know, what am I going to do there? But I'll call him once in a while. We'll talk. But what's the point of time? I'm in Ottawa, and he'll just distract my... You know, I want to go to Harinam today. I don't want to go and see him.
But sometimes when we deal with him in that way, and if we're in proper way, we see that an awakening or attraction for devotees by their example begins to awaken within them a desire to serve the devotee. Right? Not by force, not by pressure, but by their example. That yes, they're kind to me, they're good to me, but I know there are certain principles that they won't compromise, and I respect that. And, just like look what happened to the prostitute when Haridas Thakur was, they say, oh, I'll satisfy you. Just wait till I'm finished chanting my prescribed number of rounds. But he never stopped. So the prostitute began to respect. Well, you know, there's something good about this. I think I'll come back and try it again the next night. And still never stopped. But by the third night, she's thinking, well, you know, how can I serve you? But Haridas Thakur, what did he say to the prostitute? Oh, I'll satisfy you. I know what you're here for. Imagine if we tried to sit, you know, to use that as an example today. Like, Haridas Thakur could do that, but we try to imitate. Yeah, just wait here. Wait till I'm done with my prescribed rounds, and I'm only chanting like 16. What am I going to do now? I promised.
I better add some numbers to that.
I better chant a few extra rounds to that.
It's a codicil or something.
Well, there's not much to be said after this excellent presentation, but I did appreciate that we got down to the essence of the Vaishnava Devotee Association. We're here to enliven each other, just like Krishna says, Machita Matapapa, on that whole book. So if you expanded beautifully on that. And I just wanted to mention, faith is the purpose of our devotee association. We're here to increase our faith and our taste. And faith is by beautiful, satisfying relationships, because it's like a little foretaste of the spiritual world. There, everything is saturated with loving exchanges. It's nothing but loving exchanges. So amongst the devotees, we get a little bit of a practice of that higher realm. And it increases our faith, yes. Krishna has everything to satisfy us, and the devotees are reflecting Krishna's love and beauty. So it's nice, you know, to experience that, you know, and you get it, that you really want to do more and get deeper into it.
There's nothing more.
Yeah. There's nothing. Reward.
That's it?
Yeah.
What was the, what you called it, Bhakti Mukhi Sukriti the other day? What was that in relationship to? Bhakti Mukhi Sukriti. It's the kind of Sukriti, that the pious activity that gives one the association of devotees. Yeah, so somehow.
So the Prabhupada said, I created all your pious credits, you know?
Yeah. 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 But, probably one like she said, I've given you your faith.
His faith was limitless, so he was contagious.
On the strength of his conviction and seeing us as pure spirit souls, he awakened that faith. I gave you your faith. It was there, but I gave it to you because...
Time. Yeah. A lot. Everywhere. And it's now going on still.
Go ahead, Prabhupada.
I have 3 points.
Oh, boy.
One, I want to support your point about out of love, pleasing another devotee in the way they want to be pleased. So I thought of the example of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu giving the specific sabji and type of prasadam to each devotee as he was personally serving them with his own hand.
Very good.
Yeah. Then I was thinking about, you know, how you were quoting Bhakti Loka and this sense of duty as compared to doing things out of love. And I've often thought that this word love is a very exalted word, because love means I'm not being duplicitous. I don't have any hidden agenda here. I'm not doing this for you because I'm expecting, you know. So I was thinking...
That is one of the symptoms of love.
Right.
Characters.
At least for myself, you know, I can't speak for anyone else because I don't feel I'm functioning much on the level of love. Doesn't the sense of duty need to be there? Because sometimes between a husband and wife, or even between... you know, two ladies or two brahmacharis, you know, you may have some resentment, you may not be able to forgive that person because of something they said or did to you, but you know with your intellect, I need to serve this devotee, at least for my own purification. I may not love them so much. You know, the wife will serve the husband or vice versa, because that sense of duty could eventually mature into love.
That's exactly the point.
Okay.
That's the essence right there.
Okay.
Prabhupada even said that. It was on our morning walk conversation, and Prabhupada was asking the devotees what are the symptoms of love, and the devotees were coming up with so many different things, and then Prabhupada finally stopped and put his cane down. And he said, "No," he said, "obedience." He said, "First there must be obedience." He said, "Without obedience, there could never be love." So in the same way, obedience to the order of the spiritual master must be there. We do it out of duty. But then, by doing it out of duty, what happens? Yes, I'm doing this because I have a duty to family. I have a duty to, you know, I have a duty that I perform. I can't imitate the person who's Devarshi Bhutaptaninam Patrinam Nankinkaronayam Nicharajan. We heard that verse in the early days. We thought that anyone who surrendered to Krishna is no longer a debtor to anyone. not sages, no forefathers, no family, no kinsmen, no the demigods, no saintly persons.
Credit card payment.
But we found out, you know, subsequently we found out that actually we're not on that platform. So we should know what our duties are. And Krishna says one should know what is duty and what is not his duty by the rules and regulations that are given in scripture. By knowing such activities, he could become purified. And then he says that one who acts according to his whim and does not perform his prescribed duties, he can achieve neither happiness nor perfection nor the supreme destination. So duty must be there. But duty will naturally blossom into love if it's performed in the proper...
I don't know the actual story. There was some king by the name of Bhartri Hari that was involved in it. And he was speaking to somebody else. But the gist of it was that when someone says they love you in the material world, what it means is, I love the way you gratify my senses and I love the way you please my mind. But as soon as you stop gratifying my senses and pleasing my mind and divorce or... see you later. So that's love in the material world.
Yeah.
And the last point is, you asked the question, why reveal your mind to a worldly-minded person? Well, I was thinking of a few answers. You already gave one. How can you, you know, who can you trust? Because confidentiality is often breached by devotees. They don't understand the value of confidentiality. Secondly, you may not feel there's someone that's mature enough that if you open your heart to them, that they're going to actually really be able to understand you and advise you. Thirdly, I was thinking that you may not want to burden other people. You don't want to bring them down with your anarthas or your struggles in life. I remember when Upanuga Prabhu was our GBC here in 76, he was saying that when Rupa Goswami talks about revealing your mind in confidence and inquiring, he's speaking about the level of, you know, Krishna's Rasa Leela and intimate pastimes, but he was saying on our level, it may be, you know, we're revealing our difficulties, our challenges, our struggles. But so that brings, you know, could bring up the topic of people who are mental health professionals, psychotherapists. I'm not trying to promote that, but sometimes these people do have some compassion and they may want to help facilitate somebody. And not all devotees are expert to be able to know.
But the question is what they're revealing. They don't go to a psychologist to ask them how to achieve Krishna Prema.
No.
Nor do they go to a psychologist and ask them, you know, how to become free from anarthas.
Right. Yeah, they may have a drug.
So there's a limit to what they reveal.
Right.
That's my point.
Okay. Yeah, you can only go so far with them.
You can only go so far. Yeah. But with a Vaishnava, you can reveal your heart. Ananda, you want to say something?
Just in regards to your comments about association and how we should not associate with materialistic persons, and the word upeksha, neglect, you mentioned. Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Jayavadharma gives a very interesting discussion about that. He says that a madhyamadikari should neglect an envious person. But what does that mean? And he gives some examples. He says that if someone comes to your home in the winter and they have no place to stay, person, you may let them stay in your home. You may feed them, you may give them clothes and help them in different ways. So then what does it mean to neglect them? He says it means you don't speak Krishna Katha to them. And sometimes we even see that with devotees in our own movement. Sometimes you say something about somebody, you know, do you know what Krishna's doing right now? And you say, don't tell me that. I already know that thing. I'm already that. But we don't speak.
Very good point. And also, the Jiva Goswami or Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati in his Tika in the 11th Canto Bhagavatam, he also says that the Vaishnava, Majjhima Vaishnava, he neglects those who are envious of the Lord, but within his heart he still prays for their deliverance. He still feels compassionate. His neglect is a sign of compassion, but within his heart he also prays. He's still a well-wisher. Very good point about what is neglect. Don't give them Krishna Katha.
I think in a similar way, sometimes we become agitated about, just for example, someone, a celibate person, and they see an attractive woman and she's dressed in a scanty way. Sometimes the devotees become agitated by that and they want to criticize her. But But what is the nature of her dress? It's a manifestation of envy. She wants attention to her body. She wants people to look at her as a kind of envy. So we're supposed to neglect envy. We just don't see it. Just neglect her. And in the case of male-female relationships, women, generally they dress to try to attract men, to try to please men. The men are just not interested in that. They're following the Bhagavatam and they neglect that. And they won't do that.
Last question.
I was wondering, is it possible to be a Manjumadhikari without receiving Diksha, or do you need Diksha to get to that stage?
Well, Diksha? This is that. Last question.
Make sure you stay here for another hour.
Let's get breakfast. Straight to lunch.
Seems like short or something. I don't know. You don't have to answer that.
Give it the short answer.
I'm going to ask Madhavananda to answer this in a concise way.
Well, it's different. My response would be that when we use the word madhyam, madhyam is not just referring to initiation, not initiation, but the word madhyam may be referring to someone who's initiated, and there may be madhyam devotees who are initiated, there may be madhyam devotees who are not initiated, because madhyam is just a general term.
Oh, thank you. Got you off the roof.
At the same time, there's a place where Prabhupada described a neophyte devotee by a newly initiated brahmana.
Neophyte devotee as a newly initiated brahmana?
Yeah, that's the one place, the definition of kanista, is a newly initiated brahmana. So yeah. That simplifies, even kanista is defined as a thing.
Yes, in other words, even initiation, one can be kanista, is that what you're saying?
No, I said this is where it's
He defined that as?
Yeah, because before that is Prakita Bhakta.
Uh-huh.
You know, Kanishta is when you have taken...
What is it, Srinath Chakravarti Thakur, in the Madhurya Kundambani, which describes the characteristics of enthusiasm. What is it called? Utsahamayi? Is it something like a person?
Fade in something sublime?
No, Usahamayi, I think he said. Usahamayi. A person becomes, he may be initiated immediately, he thinks, by being initiated, he thinks of his all qualifications simply because he's taken initiation. Yeah, so, but he has enthusiasm because he thinks, now I'm a Brahmin. You know, now I have all good qualifications of a Brahmin. It's called Usahamayi. It's one of the symptoms of Anishtita Bhakti. Yeah, it's not a very advanced stage of devotional service. And there are many things also in Harinam Chintamani. Bhakti Mataku gives other examples too. I think we gave them. I mentioned it the other night, taking initiation. It's like giving initiation it's initiation to the holy name. Giving initiation to the holy name for a person who hasn't faith. Has no faith in the holy name. It's like throwing pearls before swine, or by giving fancy clothes to a monkey. If you give fancy clothes to a monkey, they'll simply tear up the clothes and lift. Simply, if you give initiation to the holy name without sufficient faith, they'll offend the holy name, and by their offenses, they'll be dragged down by their offenses, and the spiritual master who initiates such unqualified people with a holy name will be dragged down by their offenses. So one has to be careful. The first faith has to be awakened. Shraddha shabde vishvas kahi sudhuta nischaya krishna bhakti ka sava kama kritaha krishna bhakti kaile sava kama kritaha. Shraddha means firm, confident faith that by chanting Hare Krishna, all my other subsidiary duties can automatically be fulfilled. That faith must be there. That was Lord Chaitanya's statement. Okay. I think we'll stop there. Thank you all very kindly for your opportunity to return to the service.
Thank you. Prabhupada.